Yeah, all right. Hey, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Mariners. Thank you. Thanks for coming and being part of today. My name is Paul. I am one of the pastors here, and it's terrific to see you that you chose to come here today. It means a lot to us that you're here, and so thank you. Thank you for coming and being part of today. Hey, if you're a guest, first time with us, a special welcome to you. If you're looking to connect with people or connect with God or just grow in your life, your personal life, or your spiritual life, this is a good place. We're Coastside people that come here each week to try and do that, and we connect throughout the week to just grow in faith and develop the way that God wants us to develop, and so you're really welcome here. Second time, third time here, thank you for coming back. You saw something here, and that means a lot to us that you chose to come here. If you come all the time, that's awesome. You're part of the family, and we're so thankful for that. Whether you're here for the very first time or whether you come every single week, we'd love to have you take the moment and fill out the blue card that's in front of you, seat back in front of you. It's real simple and should take you all of 15 or 20 seconds to do that, if you could. At the end of the service, we'll be collecting these and just put them in the buckets that come by and just drop it that way. If you have any thoughts or prayer requests or anything that's going on in your life, write those down, particularly prayer requests. You will be prayed for by people throughout the week. So we have a great team of people that pray. And if you actually want to talk to somebody after the service or pray with somebody, that room over there is set aside for that. So just make your way there at the end and head over there for that. At the end, we will be passing around some buckets. And the buckets are for the blue cards. They're also for any offering that you'd like to give to the church. We are a non-denominational thing. We support ourselves. And so everything happens here because of you. If you're a guest or you don't come regularly, feel no obligation to give. This is for just giving us for those that are a regular part of the church. And so that's what that is all about. So wonderful for that. Hey, let me take a second and pray, okay? God, in this moment now, we want to look at what the Bible says about us and our lives, and I pray that you would give me the right words to share, the right things to say, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Hey, I'm going to start with a question, a big, big question. How many of you like yourselves? Do you like yourself? And that's a weird one, isn't it? It's like, oh, brother, you know, what am I supposed to say with that one? If I say no, then I'm like insulting God who made me, right? If I say yes, Paul, I really love myself, I'll sound like some kind of egomaniac. So we get stuck in between. It's like, well, there's some parts of me that I like, but a lot of parts of me that I don't like. You know, I wish I could change and wish it could be really, really different. And so you do what I do and just avoid the question. You know, I'm just not even going to answer the question whatsoever. And I don't blame you for wanting to avoid that one. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because I believe that our self-talk and our self-view and our self-image actually, and how we feel about ourselves has an awful lot to do on how we thrive in life, okay? It has an awful lot to do with how we can thrive in life, in our relationships, in our connection with God, and even just the way we develop. And we're in this series, we're calling it Thrive, and I like the color scheme, and I like the logo. And I love that Jesus said this, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. I love that he said that. He's not saying you just simply must survive this thing, but that you should have the fullness of all that life could even give you. Now, it comes right after he said this, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And we want to say, well, the thief must be what or must be who? It must be the devil. You know, the devil's only coming to steal and kill and destroy. But it doesn't say that. It doesn't say anything about the devil there or spiritual powers. It's in the middle of a long analogy that Jesus is giving, and it can mean all of life. And when you think about it, that's really true. Life comes to steal, and it comes to kill, and it comes to destroy us. I mean, it'll just eat us all up and wreck us. It can steal our emotions. It can steal our relationships. And we ourselves even do self-destructive things. And we're part of that stealing and killing and destroying. We ourselves are. And so we've got to get the inside of us right and connected, and we've got to get God healing that in order for us to be able to be the right people, in order to be able to have this full life and connect with other people correctly. So in Jesus, we find not only salvation from sin and forgiveness, and we talk about that a lot here, but with that, the ability to make the changes on the inside for life to the full, so that I actually have the ability to relate to you the way I'm supposed to, because only then can we have the relationships that help us thrive in life. Now, why don't we come automatically to all of this? You know, why doesn't we automatically, when we start getting our lives aligned spiritually, automatically happens? And I think one of the problems is we've had a lot of time to mess ourselves up, haven't we? I mean, we've had an awful lot of time to get all screwed up and have others mess us up. And so we get to my stage in life, mid-30s, you know, my stage in life, and all those things begin to multiply and divide and add, but not subtract, okay? All those things begin to keep piling up and piling up. And the more they pile up, the more complex they get and more complicated they get. And way down deep is our view of ourselves. And we don't know always what to think of ourselves. Do I like myself? Do I not like myself? Do I love myself? Do I not love myself? How do I fit in all this kind of stuff? And it's really hard sometimes for us to find that image of God that is within us. God speaks to us through Scripture, through the Bible, and it has a lot of theological stuff in it, but it also has a lot of practical advice. And one is this: don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith that God has given us. And that's part of the whole Thrive thing, is to really figure out who I am in this world. Now, there's two parts: don't think you're better than you are, and be honest in your evaluation of it. Now, how many of us think we're better than we really are? Yeah, nobody does. You know, well, yeah, sometimes we meet people that think that. Now, how many of us know people who think they're better than they really are? How many of us know people? Yeah. And it's really, everyone says, yeah, I know people that are like that, but nobody is like that, you know. So you better watch out for yourself. It's always funny that we know people like that. But it says, measure yourself by the faith that God has given us. So what does God say about you? Because that's really what counts, doesn't it? And we're going to go from big to small and from everybody to you, okay? That's where we're going to go right now. Now, we all have one thing in common, and wrote down we're all awake, but that's not true, okay? Some of you are dozing right now. We're all humans, okay? Every single one of us in this room are humans. The Bible says God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And that's, you know, pretty lofty, big words on that one. And image does we ask ourselves, what does that mean? And don't think of, when we think the image of God, that painting on the top of the Sistine Chapel that, you know, where God is a big, burly, buffed guy with a beard. You know, we always think, maybe is that the image that God's made me, and why don't my pecs look better than that? God made humans with stuff he didn't give to any other animal. Well, maybe dog, definitely not cats, okay? There's certain things, like thought, emotion, self-will, you know, reason. There are things God gave to you and to me that are, quote, in his image with that. And the Bible goes on to say, and if you have that little insert, we're going to start handing out little inserts now, but Psalm 8, if you want to look up in your little iBible, Psalm 8, verse 3 says this: when I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them. I mean, he's looking at the sky. Did you see the stars? Wednesday night, they were just brilliant, just really, really brilliant. And I told Lisa, look, you can see five planets tonight. You can see five planets: Venus and Jupiter, Saturn and Mars. And she said, that's only four. And so I said, Earth. Yeah. And there, the planet and stars and the Bible writers were aware of their majesty and their uniqueness. And looking at those, he says, who are we that God thinks about you, cares about me? And at the moment with Lisa, after I was done being annoying to her, we talked about God who did that, thinks about me, and he cares about me. He cares about me. God who did that. Says you made us only a little lower than God and crowned us with glory and honor. It's like boom. Mark mentioned Psalm 139, and the Bible moves us from all of us now to you. Psalm 139, it says, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. And now he's going to talk about it. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. I mean, it is talking about, you know, the sinew and the veins, the arteries and everything all put together. We spoke of this at Christmas time, and I just think it's kind of good to talk about it again. I looked up online, what are the chances of you being you? You know, you being you. What are the chances of you being you? You being you and me being me. And it's kind of fun to look up, and there's a lot of probabilities and formulas for getting you here. One person took it back to the origin of the universe. But the odds of humans existing, even existing, is pretty slim, you know. But here we are, you know, we're right here. One person said the chances of both grandparents meeting, let's just take it back to your grandparents, and making your mom and dad, because they had to, you know, be made, and your mom meeting your dad and them getting married because your dad was a nerd, you know. But they did, you know, they did. They got married, and doing what comes naturally, out came you with a chance of 1 in 10 with 450,000 zeros behind it, okay? You being you. But it happened, and when it happened, that second of conception, and in my mind, that's when I call it holy. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, God, wow. You know, when you see those little diagrams from microscopes, all of a sudden a little thing, you know, gets in. And that's there. It's there. All of a sudden it's there. All the DNA combines there. You know, man. And you are you. I mean, that's you. Everything, your size, you know, your shape, you know, your hair color, you know, your tendencies, whether you're left-handed or right-handed, you know, your aptitudes, whether you're going to be a musician or not, you know, what you're going to love, what you're going to gravitate towards, your talents, your skills, you know, your abilities, your strength. It's there. At that moment, it happened. Everything about you, because God wanted you. You know, God wanted you. And then he says, I praise you because you are to be awed. All you do is awesome and wonderful. I know that with all my heart. Okay, he's going to tell us what's going on while you're in the mommy, and God was putting you together. Just think about that with excitement, with hope, with joy, with anticipation, precision. And God said, you. Thank you. Thank you. That one. That's why it says he's given you a crown of glory and honor. You. I needed a you. And all God's people said, you know, amen. And not so fast, Louie. You know, a couple of days ago, someone referred to somebody else as a hot mess. You ever heard that term before? It's a fun term, hot mess. You know, this person is just a hot mess. I like the term because it's true. Not for that other person, but it's also true for what? For us. Yeah, for us. We're all hot messes, okay? We're all hot messes, all of us. And I wish we could just say God made us and we're special. And that's the end of the story, but that's only the first part of the story. And we are all so hot messes. And what does major damage to our self-image? That just destroys us. Genesis 2 says, but you must not eat of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil. This is God, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. God said it to Adam and Eve, and we know they did what? They ate, okay? Now, will you expect it to be, you know, they took a bite of this thing, whatever fruit it was, and we expect them to, okay, we're waiting, you were waiting, and they don't drop dead. Was God wrong? Because God just said, you're going to what? You're going to die. But they didn't die, did they? At least not in our idea of it. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and Hebrew is a storytelling language. It's a storytelling language. And words were much more descriptive. Now, die to us is what? Dead, you know. Mosquito, alive, dead, you know. It's gone. It's dead. Death in the Bible means something different. It means separation, okay? And it means separation in a whole bunch of different forms. It can mean separation from life. It can mean that. Or it can mean separation from others. Or it can mean separating ourselves from God. Or it can mean also separation from yourself. And I think it means most all of those, okay? All of those happened. They died, not in the sense of they fell down, oops, you know, dead. It means separated. They were separated from each other, we know that. They were separated from God because they walked away from God. They were separated from ultimately forever life because we know that happened. So essentially, we carry on that trait. So dead man walking here, you know, dead man walking. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. You know, it's going to be eternal separation. You know, that's what we talk about. Now follow this one. We're dead to an awful lot, okay? It means we're dead to fullness of a relationship with others, and that means we're now dead to fullness of intimacy, fullness of it. So we do what? Because we have sinned and we're dead to, we are now even dead to receiving love and giving love, so we begin to hide in shame. All right? Remember what it says in the Bible about Adam and Eve? They were naked and not what? Ashamed. Shame's a big deal. It means I've done something bad and wrong and I need to hide. And shame causes us to only hide. Now, you have to understand something. You and I were not equipped to be imperfect. We were not meant to be broken. Okay, we weren't. We were meant to be perfect because that's how God created us. So we are not, and now all of a sudden, we found ourselves in a place where we're not equipped to handle it. I'm not equipped to handle imperfection. And we don't have enough grace to heal ourselves, okay? We don't have enough grace to heal ourselves from others. I don't have enough grace. I just don't on my own because brokenness is here and I can't handle it. And so because I don't have enough grace to be able to handle it, it's going to lead for me to isolate. Now follow this. Isolation leads to depression. Depression leads to self-medication. Self-medication leads to all kinds of ways we try to self-medicate ourselves, from alcohol to drugs to all kinds of bad habits to pornography to everything. Promiscuity, acting out, and that leads to shame. And shame leads to what? Isolation. And here comes a cycle all over again. And that's why we say, you know, when we talk about the answer to pornography is not stop looking. Because that's not the issue. The issue is way deeper. It's isolation. It's self-medication because of shame. And until we deal with the root cause of it, we're never going to be able to solve the other issues. They're just going to come back, maybe in another form, but they're going to come back to the self-medication to try and feel better about ourselves, which only leads to shame, and shame leads to back the whole circle again and again and again. And you think, wow, no wonder. No wonder this is a hard life. No wonder I'm a what? Hot mess. And so when I asked ourselves how many of us like ourselves, we don't know what to say, you know. And part of me is I like part of me, and part of me I don't like. And so Adam sowed a fig leaf for his unmentionables, you know, to hide. And we sometimes do that too, and we're afraid to be who God made us. And our fig leaves are sometimes pretend or creating a self-image. And, you know, we sometimes say, well, have you ever heard the term, I have to reinvent myself? You know, sometimes those in celebrities have to reinvent themselves. You know, reinvent themselves as somebody else, have to reinvent. Or we invent ourselves, I'm an athlete, or I'm funny, or I'm cute, or I'm fashionable, or I'm educated, or I'm a leader. And we say, well, that's who I am, because we have to make that our fig leaf to hide behind. So what's your image? And there are these kinds of odd but really cool passages tucked into the Bible. And Jesus is going to make these statements, and they don't make much sense until you understand that we're all kind of hiding and trying to create our own self-image for ourselves and trying to identify ourselves as something or invent ourselves. Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny what?
Himself.
Deny himself. Take up his cross and daily and follow me. Do you see where Jesus is getting to? See where it's coming back around now? Take off the masks. Take off the fig leaf. Jesus said, if you cling to your life, you'll lose it. If you give up your life for me, you'll find it. Because you can't keep trying to play this game. Because you're going to get stuck in this circle instead of the freedom of thriving with God. Jesus is saying, give up what you think you are and take hold of who you really are. And quit playing the games. Someone can love you for who you are. Someone can love you for who you really, really are. And that person is who? It's Jesus. It's God. People without Jesus are separated from everything that can make them whole. And so we just simply keep weaving nicer and nicer, thicker and thicker fig leaves. Have you ever seen the film You've Got Mail? It's a chick flick, I know. But it has Tom Hanks in it, and Tom Hanks was in Saving Private Ryan, so it's pretty cool. He redeemed him. He redeemed himself. It's okay. But he wants to woo Meg Ryan, you know, the female lead. And she hates him. I mean, she hates him. She hates him. Kind of, you know, kind of. And he goes over to, it's kind of the turning point, he goes over to her apartment and he buzzes to get in, you know, buzzes to get in. And he has flowers because he's heard she's sick. And she doesn't want to let him in because she doesn't like him. But she kind of does, but she doesn't. And she's a mess because she's sick, you know. And she looks like a mess and she's dressed like a mess and her house is a mess. And she doesn't want to let him in. But he sneaks, kind of gets in anyway. He goes in anyway. And he doesn't care what she looks like. Because why? Well, because he's in love with her. Okay? He doesn't care about the mess. Because he's fallen in love with her. And this is what Jesus says. Okay, now listen to the transfer. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and eat with him and he with me. He doesn't say, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, start cleaning up your act. Start getting your life together. Start making sure that your fig leaf is in place. Make sure everything is all lined up. And then I can finally come in and think you're something special. He just says, open the door. Just open the door. You can't do it good enough anyway. And I like that word, behold. And I use that version because it's a big word, you know. And it gets my attention, you know. He doesn't just say, hey. There's a behold, you know. And it rattles me. And Jesus is saying, I want to come into your life. And inside I'm a hot mess. And I say, no, I want to clean things up. And I keep thinking of the roles I tried to play to get people to like me and all the stuff I did to fit in. And when I tried to become someone. And we sometimes wonder if anyone even knows us at all. But finally, we have somebody who says, I don't care. And with the strength of him coming in and loving me the way I actually am, with every wart and every blemish and every flaw I have, I now have strength to be able to open myself up to other people. And that's the way we were designed, to be open and vulnerable and transparent to other people. And that's where the fullness of relationship comes in. And a fullness of relationship with God and with others, I kind of think that's a good word that's called, what, thrive. And that's where it comes from, abundant life and thriving life. And others need that too. But it's a risk you can only take in the context of love, okay? It's a risk to open up you can only take in the context of love. That's the only way. But I'm afraid. But the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. Oh, and God's love to you is perfect. And so this is what the Bible says. I ask that out of the riches of his glory, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that you may dwell, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Then you, being rooted and grounded in love, will have power together with all the saints to comprehend the length and width and height and depth of the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Isn't that cool? A beautiful word. A lonely self is a distorted self. Okay, it's a distorted self. Because you're only getting feedback from one person, you, yourself, and that's distorted. And here's where to start. Reach out to God as Savior, Father, and Friend. Okay, reach out to him as Savior, Father, and Friend. That means going deeper in your heart, and it may be weird at first. In Genesis, in the garden, God walked with Adam. And you walk with somebody you care about and you care for and you love. And it's a good, I don't know, word that God wants to walk with you, meaning do life with you, meaning be closely connected with you. Just get that in your head. God wants that. And that means going deeper in your heart, and it may be weird at first, but that's okay. Reach out to God as Savior, Father, Friend. Second, pray, meditate, and worship. Meditate, I'm not talking about sitting on some beach, but if a beach helps, you're fine. But God gave us scripture for a reason, to understand love and his love. And it is a direct line and connection. And so pray and worship. I mean, that's healing to you. And then move towards others in vulnerability. In vulnerability. This week, practice letting just yourself open up to somebody with something deeper. Just take a risk. One of the things that Lisa and I do is we learned this phrase. We said when things are kind of not even intense, but we just say, the story in my head right now is this. You know, meaning if she said something to me or I said something to her that she doesn't understand or maybe thinks my intentions are wrong, she says, you know, the story in my head is this. Can you help me understand? If that's what you really mean. She's taking a risk to say, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling. Can you help me straighten it out? The story in my head right now is this. To the best of your ability, stop isolating. None of us are lone rangers. We're not. We have life groups for that. We have people that would love to connect with you. We can meet and talk more. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up now, and we're going to just close this part of it down. And I'm going to say, let's take a moment. And we talked about that pray and meditate. Let's do that right now, can we? Just for a moment, and we're not going to be here for 30 minutes meditating. I would just like to lead us in a quiet moment before God. Just think about God, that moment of conception, and it was your moment. A holy, sovereign, omnipotent God said at that second, you, I want you to be on this earth. This time in this place, I want you. The psalm said such knowledge is too wonderful for me, and it is. It is. It's too wonderful. But God, you wanted me, and I don't know why, but you did. And maybe you wanted me here just for this moment right now so I can feel close to you. God, you did it because all you do is out of love. And so maybe you did all that just so that right now I can know how much I'm loved by you. And Jesus, I know because of brokenness inside me, I have made myself a hot mess, and you come, your son came to walk beside me, Jesus, to die for the mess that I've made of my life, to take on your justice and be punished in my place. That's love. That's real love. So God, we praise you because we are made wonderful. And Lord Jesus, thank you for these moments that we've been able to have here. I ask that you would bless the people here. And we thank you so much in Jesus' name.